Well, all righty. I think we'll get started now in this class period. I just want to start out by saying how thankful I am to be here. My name's Carson, if I haven't got to meet you yet. And tonight, instead of the normal text talk in the class format, me and Hunter will be presenting two 20, 25-minute sermons for you all tonight, and we hope that it can be edifying in some way for you. I just want to say how thankful I am to be here and to all the love you've shown me over the past few weeks. To start out the lesson tonight, I want to tell a story. It's quoted as being one of the costliest mistakes ever made in sports history. Luca Peinerich, a cyclist, was racing in a world-famous tournament and leading the race for 3.5 hours when suddenly things changed. The pack came around the final turn of lap 4, and Luca saw the finish line, and so he started to pull away from the other racers. He put his hands in the air. He's beating his breast. He's taking in the cheers of this crowd. And he crosses the finish line. But then it hits him that this wasn't the final lap of the race, that he had one more to go. And his premature celebration not only ended up costing him first place that day, but he would end the race placing 148th after leading for 3.5 hours. And we've heard stories like Luca, the football player dropping the ball at the 1 yard line, the worker buying expensive things with the assumption that they'll get a pay raise or a Christmas bonus, but that check doesn't come in the mail, or maybe a student who thinks they'll get a guaranteed A on a test, but in reality, they get a C. There's a real danger to assuming that we have something or assuming that we've achieved something. We become lazy, complacent, and comfortable. And don't we see how that could be a danger for us this year as we're trying to press on to the goal? For us to have this mindset like Luca in that story, to where we have this mindset where we just coast through life and we stop pedaling. But fortunately for us, Paul, through his inspiration, will give us some valuable lessons, teaching us what it requires for us to press on to the goals we're trying to do this year as a congregation. Valuable lessons for us as we are striving to get to that prize. And so if you could we read our theme text for the year? Philippians chapter 3. That's where my Bible's open. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, beginning in verse 4. Philippians 3, beginning in verse 4. This is what Paul writes. He says this: although I myself might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised the 8th day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. Verse 7. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. And more than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which comes through God, and that which comes through faith by the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death, in order that I may obtain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained it, verse 12, or become perfect, but I press on, so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself of having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many who are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that to you also. However, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have obtained. Did we pick up on some things that allowed Paul to press on toward the goal to be rewarded? He realized some things allowing him to daily strive to press on toward the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And we need to pay attention, because it will be impossible for us to press on this year if we stop backpedaling like Luca. And so there's going to be two obstacles in Philippians 3 that Paul will show us through his word. Two obstacles that could cause us to have the mindset of Luca and give up the gift of God. The first is this. The first obstacle is the obstacle of satisfaction. Paul understood that satisfaction is an obstacle to the prize. And so he writes this, not that I've already obtained it or become perfect, verse 12, but I press on. Paul proclaims he's not perfect. Paul had some work to do at becoming more like Jesus, the man who was an example of faith to believers then and now. He was the man who would exhort Christians, be imitators of me as I in Christ. The man who would rebuke the apostle Peter, the man who was singing and praying while in shackles in Acts 16, the man in Philippians who was locked up in a prison cell. This man, if he had a reason to feel good about what he had done for the kingdom of God, if he had a reason to feel good about who he was for the kingdom of God, he could have felt that way. But yet this man writes, not that I've become perfect to the church of Philippi. He had dedicated himself to the pursuit of becoming perfect. Not meaning that one day he would achieve perfection, but a mindset of continual growth and transformation. He writes this in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27. But I strictly discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself might not be disqualified. He trained and disciplined his body because Paul understood that to obtain the prize, it required an athlete fully committed to becoming less and less I and more Jesus. He writes in Galatians, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Paul devoted himself to the pursuit of perfection because this mindset is crucial for the walk of a Christian. Paul, like Luca in that race, could have looked at where he was at. He could have looked at the distance between him and the other riders, the other Christians. He could have heard the cheer of the crowd, the Christians praising Paul for the work he's doing, and simply coasted through life and stopped pedaling. That would have been okay for Luca if he understood where the true finish line was. But Paul understood that the finish line was not at the fourth lap like Luca, but he had to pursue perfection until the final trumpet of the Lord shall sound. And so Paul, until his final breath, devoted himself to the pursuit of perfection, denying the obstacle of satisfaction. And so do we have this attitude? Or do our hearts profess that we're satisfied? None of us would say that, but perhaps our walk with God proclaims sufficiency rather than pressing on to become more like Jesus. Do we have the mindset of Paul that regardless of how far we've come or grown, that we still press on for every day less and less I and more Jesus who lives in me? We need to have the mindset of an athlete training and disciplining our body, not until the fourth lap of life, but dedicating ourselves to that pursuit until God will give us the gift of salvation that we'll talk about in just a moment. Are we pressing on to be like Christ and pursuing perfection, or have we become hindered by the obstacle of satisfaction? Can we make that our goal this year? To daily strive to become more like Jesus, to be motivated to action, and to hold ourselves to the standard of the Son of God, and not be discouraged when we see our shortcomings, our failures, but to be motivated to read the book and to look at the example of Jesus, and for us to truly live to be like Christ. We could be tempted to look at our salvation, our good works, our participation at church, our current knowledge, and think we have a seat reserved already at the master's table. Can we say, like Paul would in Philippians 2 and verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain? Or have we stopped pedaling as we've gone down the path of Christianity? There's a great example of this in history. Big history fan. In the 15th century, Spain was a dominant world power that controlled a vast majority of land. And they controlled so much land in arrogance that they thought they had no more land to control. And so on every coin in Spain, they inscribed something. They inscribed nothing further, meaning that we are the ultimate power. There's no more land for us to control. But upon Christopher Columbus sailing to the Americas, Spain realized that they had a lot of room to grow. And so they changed the inscription on their currency. They changed the inscription from nothing further, meaning we've gone as far as we can go, to more beyond, meaning that we can go further than we ever thought possible. And in the same way, Christians can proclaim nothing further. We become complacent with our knowledge. We become complacent with our good deeds. We become complacent with our role in God's kingdom. We become sufficient, proclaiming nothing further. We've gone as far as we can go. But we need hearts like Paul, that instead of proclaiming nothing further, we have hearts that seek more beyond, to go beyond our current knowledge and our walk with God, and to grow and avoid the obstacle of satisfaction like Paul did. And the reason why we run and we have this pursuit of perfection is because one day God will give us a prize. And so let's talk about the prize for just a second, because also it will help us appreciate and understand the second obstacle, which we'll talk about, because Paul will make a contrast. And so let's talk about the prize that God will give us one day. The reason why Paul was pressing on, because one day God would reward him with a perfect prize. In verse 12, he says, "Not that I've already obtained it." And in verse 13, "I do not regard myself of having laid hold of it yet." The prize was his fuel and motivation, and something worth pressing on for. Paul wanted that prize more than he wanted anything. And so he writes this, our theme text for the year: "I press on toward the upward call in Christ Jesus." He understood that the Lord would bless him with an eternal inheritance. And that's why he could say in Philippians 2 and verse 21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." When he says those words, he's possibly about to die. He's locked up because of his preaching, but Paul wasn't discouraged, because for Paul, the gift of God wouldn't be loss, but it would be gain for him. And so in this small book of Philippians, we get a glimpse of what that gift and prize of God will be like. Can we read about that together? Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 20. Philippians 3, beginning in verse 20. It says this: "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of his power, that he has even to subject all things to himself." Notice that God takes us and gives us an inheritance, an eternal home. And think about what that meant for a man like Paul, a man who had been traveling for years, a man who was locked up in prison, for the God, the creator of the universe, to say, "Paul, I'm going to give you an inheritance of an eternal home with me." But not only that, for him to read about the transformation that would take place. No longer would Paul be a beaten man who suffered physically, but God would take his body and transform it through his glory. Paul's pressing toward that prize so that one day he might receive it. And can we take comfort? Because if anyone had the ability to say, "This prize isn't worth it," it's Paul. And we're going to read the book of Acts together in a few weeks as a congregation. But we'll read about Paul being beaten, shipwrecked, rejected in multiple cities. Paul is in prison in Philippians 3. Over and over again, Paul suffers and suffers for the prize, yet he keeps pressing on towards it because of how amazing and how perfect that prize would be one day. And so he writes, "Not that I've already obtained it, but I press on." We need to understand that the prize is worth our everything to obtain. That while here on work, there is work to be done, as Randy talked about this morning, but we will be zealous for his service because God in his mercy and grace gave us citizenship when we were homeless and will give us transformation even though we're temporal now, where there is no crying or sadness, but the presence of God and his holiness. We can rejoice because if we've been saved, if we're obedient and faithful and pursue perfection, pursue Christ and becoming more like him, one day God will give us the promise and the inheritance. We can take comfort because no matter how worn out we might be, no matter what sin has done in our life, we can take comfort because the prize will be worth it one day. But we need to press on. We need to labor in the fields to endure the world. We need to withstand the obstacle of satisfaction, and the obstacle we'll talk about in just a moment. And when we do, when we have the prize in our minds, we'll pedal faster than we ever will when we see the true finish line that God has put before us. But in the book of Philippians, there is the obstacle of satisfaction. And Paul talks about this prize. But there's another obstacle described in Philippians 3. And this will be my last one before Hunter speaks. In Philippians 3, we see another obstacle. And that's the obstacle of distraction. The obstacle of distraction. Now, the problem with Luca in our opening story is that Luca failed to realize where the true finish line and prize was. And instead placed his focus short of it. He placed his focus on lap four. And in the same way, likewise, Paul describes two types of people in Philippians 3. Those who are focused on the gift and the glory of transformation that God will give that we just talked about, but also those who become distracted by the things here on this earth. Read with me Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 18. Philippians 3 in verse 18. Philippians 3 in verse 18, it says this: "For many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you even weeping, that there are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things." But here's the contrast: "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of His power, that He has even to subject all things to Himself." Paul describes the enemies of the cross. First, they're controlled by their appetite. Some translations say belly, meaning that they seek to enjoy the pleasures of this earth whenever and whatever they want. Second, Paul says their glory is their shame. They're proud of the sin in their lives. And lastly, he describes them as those who set their minds on earthly things. These people, instead of pursuing perfection that will lead to transformation and that prize of heaven, pursue the things of this earth, becoming distracted, thinking that the prize is here on lap four. The enemies of the cross are blinded to this being the costliest mistake that they could ever make, to be distracted by the things of this earth and forget about the true prize and the true finish line. And do we see this in the world today? The world screams at us that this is it. So go do everything you can to enjoy it. Go drink, go party, go pursue the things you want to pursue. Don't worry about the future, but live for the present. The world teaches that you are the God of your life. And because of that, we can coast, can't we? And we can stop pedaling because we become distracted. But these people will also receive a prize, won't they? But in a different sort. These people, instead of receiving the prize of being at home with God and transformation through His glory, will receive the prize of destruction. The cost of stopping short of the finish line spiritually and becoming distracted with the present is destruction. Paul writes, "I even tell you weeping that there are enemies of the cross of Christ whose end is destruction." Despite the enemies of the cross living and being consumed with the present glory here on this earth, one day they would receive destruction and shame. And for that reason, it's truly sad to think about the enemies of the cross, people who become so blinded to being distracted by the temporal nature of this world, to think about people who seek what the devil offers them, things like wealth and comfort, prosperity, but will not be partakers of the glory of God. Paul tells us in Philippians, "I tell you even weeping that there are enemies of the cross." And for what reason he's weeping, we have to assume in the text. But could it be because what's sadder than being an enemy of the cross of Christ? Something that takes people who are unworthy, people who are broken, people who are without hope or purpose, and gives them a purpose and a hope of an eternal erection through Jesus Christ. The people of Philippi were given a choice. Would they become satisfied and distracted, resulting in destruction, or would they pursue the prize of God? For Paul, he decided that he wanted the prize of heaven more than he wanted anything. And so to get there, it required that he wasn't distracted by the world, but instead left everything behind for Christ. In verse 13, it says, "But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead." And in verse 7, after Paul names all these things, his accomplishments, his status, in verse 7, he says, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ." We need to make our choice this year and decide to put the obstacle of satisfaction aside, to put the obstacle of distractions of this world aside and pedal toward the prize. We need to understand it's impossible for us to live with one foot in the pursuit of this world and one foot in the pursuit of the kingdom of God. You know, imagine if Luca or any of those racers tried to enjoy themselves with the things of this world before that race. They imagine if Luca stayed up late. He goes out to eat with his friends. He misses the morning stretches to sleep in a little bit. He forgets to check his equipment because something came up on social media, yet assumes in his mind that he's going to win the race the next day or win the race that day. But a true athlete doesn't think this way. They train, they work, and they never stop until the season or race is over. And to reach the prize, it requires sacrifice and being set apart from the world. But an athlete will achieve the prize. So there's no middle ground. We must choose today, and the rest of this year, will we keep pedaling, or have we become hindered by obstacles? Despite anything this world could offer us, God has promised us a home with him, a perfect prize. We can't be deceived, but we, as Paul must say, not that I've already obtained it or become perfect, but I press on. I press on toward the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Could you pray with me for just a moment? Can we pray together? God, we come before you just thanking you for who you are, thanking you for the prize of heaven, the glorious and perfect prize that you have put before us in our lives to run towards and leaving everything else behind us. God, we pray as we go throughout this year that we will be disciples of you, taking up our cross and following Jesus. Help us to every day become less and less I and more like Jesus, to put aside the obstacles in our life of satisfaction and distraction and press on. All these things we pray through Christ. Amen.